Hi everyone. Hi. Happy 2024. I hope everyone is having a great day out here. I can't believe it's 2024. 2024 is going to be a great year. I'm manifesting it now. I hope everyone had a great holiday and I'm excited to be here. I'm excited to be living in another year. 2024. I'm excited about the future. It's only January, but so much can happen in a year. So I am so happy you're joining. I'm proud of you, sis. I'm host Danny Benson. Thank you for joining. I guess we're back to the grind again. I feel that, we had our time to be with our family, holidays, celebrate. And now it's all about getting in line again to make our dreams, our goal, our purpose into reality. I have a great guest. I have Kevin back. Everyone love Kevin. So Kevin is back. We're going to talk about, I guess, pop culture and what's going on right now. So much has gone on in the last couple of days. We have tons of things to talk about, but I'm so happy, Kevin is here to join I'm Proud of You, Sis, featuring I'm Proud of You, Bro. I am so proud of him. Let me tell you something. I watch Kevin. He's training, he's running, he's doing so much, and I feel so guilty because one of my New Year's resolution was to join the gym, and I still haven't gotten there yet, but I will. I promise you, I will. Well, I just want to make sure I have enough time to commit in my busy schedule to actually be like Kevin and actually work out every day, train every day, train other people every day, inspire people every single day. And you know what? I just want to be like Kev. So everyone, welcome Kev to the show. Hey, Kev. I
What
want to
is
be like
happening?
you.
You to be like me? Listen, I'm exhausted.
You know what? You look good doing it though.
I appreciate you, Danny. I appreciate you so much. It's honestly, it's like a fabric of my life. I've been like this since I was a kid. I was just talking to my twin sister just the other day. I was like, Keisha, remember when we were younger? I would just wake up and just start doing push-ups. She goes, yeah, you were kind of always weird like that. You just liked working out and you would just be working out by yourself. And it's so interesting. I'm the same exact way now. Most of my workouts that I do are by myself. Well, by myself. When I go out, I would drop my son off from school, then go run 10 miles. And then come home, stretch, answer some emails, send out some proposals, contracts, and then go to a fitness class later. So I'm always doing at least two things during the day in terms of fitness and moving myself. But in all honesty, you don't have to go hard like me. The research has shown that all you need is 150 minutes a week, which breaks down to 30 minutes amongst 5 days of nonstop cardio. And nonstop cardio is not just running. You could walk, you could jump rope. You could be in one of those rowing machines. You could be on the treadmill and the elliptical for 30 minutes. But if you want to add some, fun and zhuzh it up, join a group fitness class. If you have the budget for it, get a trainer. But really, or dance. As much as grown-ups could hate on TikTok, try to keep up with your younger nieces, nephews, cousins, kids, and do some TikTok dances with them. They're super simple, they're fun, you can go viral. Everybody. But yeah, no, I'm happy to be here. Happy New Year, everyone. It's 2024. I'm still working out right here and working on my wrist and my forearm. That's what I'm doing.
Look at that. Look at that. Okay, what advice do you give to just get people started? Like
So
it's the start that's the hardest.
There's this there's a chart, a phase chart that the National Academy of Sports Medicine uses, NASM as they call it on the street, or NASM, the trans something change chart. I forgot the name of it exactly, but it breaks it down into 5 steps. So a lot of people tend to be in the what they call the pre-contemplation phase, which is they haven't worked out in God knows how long, and they're not working out anytime soon. They're not thinking about it. It's not on their radar. So no, you're really not on that stage. You're past that stage because you're thinking about it. So you're in the contemplation stage where you're kind of like, I know I should do it. I just don't know when.
But
But for the people out of
you want to know something though? I've lost 12 pounds.
Really?
So I'm not. Yeah, I'm not. I cut out the sugar.
Which is big.
I cut out the sugar because the sugar makes me look old. So I could tell I cut out the sugar because I look so young again. I cut out the carbs. So I literally just dieting alone and just dieting alone and cut out the fried food and the fast food.
Well, yes, cut out the fried food and fast food. But I don't want you to cut out too much carbs now. Carbs are, you know, carbs aren't horrible for you, but just like anything, it's in moderation. You know, everything in moderation. You know,
I don't know what moderation is. once I taste the carb, I'm like, oh, I can't.
It's interesting though, right? That's like, you know, you go to somebody's house and they have a bunch of brownies out on the table and you're just like, all right, I'm just going to have one. Then after that one, you're kind of like, man, that was a good brownie. Maybe two. Man, that's a good brownie. I'll just take a couple home, you know?
That's me. Like the word moderation is not a good word because once you taste something that you love so much, you just can't stop. It's just, it's just, you know, so I hear people say portion control. I get it. It's just, if it's something
honestly,
that you
Danny,
love.
The fact that you cut out sugars is already huge because most people, the working out isn't the issue. It's the dieting. You know, as much as I work out, I feel like I have to, because if I didn't, I'd probably balloon up and look huge just because I eat. Some days I can eat so poorly. You know, with my son, his snacks are like right out in the kitchen for us. So I see all his snacks all the time. And I'm just like, man, those Doritos look good right now. You know, I love me some nacho cheese. So it's hard to ignore that, because then you open up the bag and these little bags have like 20 chips in it. So after you finish eating those 20 chips, you're kind of like, I need 20 more chips. Let me open up another bag, you know? Let me go swing back to BJ's and buy another whole box of these things right real quick. So I get the fact that you already controlling your diet. You're already ahead of the curve. Now we just got to get you in the gym, girl, you know? I know it's January on the East Coast, so being outside is
cold.
You know, not the best. But if you can, for me, the best part of my day is getting outside and just going for a run. Go for a walk. You know, it's the best thing to do for you, because now your sensory overload. You're outside. You're seeing things. You're smelling things. You're hearing things. And then on top of that, you're giving your body some movement. No, that's what you're doing. You're not resting. See what we're doing right now, sitting down? This is what's killing people, sitting. We sit too much. We sit way too much. Now, you don't have to OD like me. Like, I literally eat standing up.
I don't even think it's worse. When I watch you, I feel like you're always moving.
Yeah, so it's insane. Like, right before I joined you, I already trained four people. You know, I trained four people, came home, went over my notes, had a phone call for a party I'm hosting in 2 weeks, got off the phone call, then went, logged right in, chatted with Bobby, the producer, and now here we are.
Yo, but let me tell you something. I think the busier you are, the longer you live. Because...
Well, they take... No, Danny, they say it's literally been proven. Like, when people retire, once they retire and they don't have any hobbies or things lined up, they're gone within the next 5 to 7 years.
Yeah, like,
which
2 years... Your body's so
even shorter.
That when it stops and retires, my dad said this to me, when your body stops from the routine of doing it for 65 years, and all of a sudden you just stop and you don't do nothing, it's like a car that sits in the parking lot and doesn't move. It's, even if it's not moving, it's the worst thing that could happen, because it moving is what keeps it going. Once it stops, it starts dying.
Yeah, no, 100%. And it's so strange. I wonder who came up with that number, 65 to retire. It's just such a, I just don't know why. Why is
First
it that
of all,
number?
I think that's so old to retire. I think you should work to like 60. So you could have a
really?
Good
I was going to say 50. I feel like 50 is a good number. I feel like 50, because the thing about it, so for me, and I know you love what you do. I love what I do. I don't see myself stopping anytime soon unless some health issue causes me to stop. You know, but other than that, I wouldn't want to stop what I'm doing.
Why do you think 50 is a good number to retire? Because I feel like 50 is like your prime.
Well, you think it's your prime? Because so what's interesting is that you're, in terms of like your body, brain development stops at 25. You know, what
it
she's
does?
Like.
No, it doesn't.
Yes, it does. It does. You have this thing called neuroplasticity that continues until you die, which is just expanding as you expand and moving as you move. But in terms of your brain development, like, yeah, it's done at 25. Like, that's
so,
it.
So if I meet a guy at 30, that's the smartest.
What do you mean, 30-year-old men? That's the first question. That man ain't got nothing for you. That better be a drive. That better be a drive by. That's a drive by. That's what we call a drive by.
Oh, yo. You are so right.
That's what my old boss Wendy Williams would say. A little drive by. That was a drive by.
So maybe a 50-year-old would be better then.
Hey, listen, a 50-year-old can do everything the 30-year-old can do and afford it.
That's right. They're not part.
That part.
That's why I said, like, I think 50 is really young to retire, because I don't think you really get your grounding until, honestly, like 32, 33, 34. You get out of school at 21.
Yeah.
Then your 20s, you're like, I think you're partying, figuring out, having a good time. You're not really worried about the future like that. And then I think when you're 30, you're like, oh my God, I have to start getting serious.
Correct. Yeah. That happened to me.
How so? Yo, how so?
I had a blast in my 20s. Listen, it's not like I wasn't working. I was working now. Super. How I am now, the Kevin that you met, is exactly how I was in my 20s, with the adage of me partying almost every night, drinking, waking up God knows where. Like, it was insane. It was very much a blur.
Wait, working in television. Waking up God knows where?
Hey, only God knew. Only God knew. Only God knew. And he's the only person I'm going to tell. Like, that's it. It's between me and God.
But you know, God, you know, and I. I tell all the kids out there, please have fun in your 20s, because it gets even harder. Have fun. Have fun in your 20s. Please travel. Please go out.
Yeah.
Please get it all out in the system, because it gets harder. The older you get, the more responsibility, the more people look into it at 35. Like, you're still doing this? Like,
Can I tell you, my son said the other day, so there's this game called Talking Points, which is really interesting. It's great for people like myself and you who love to talk. It just encourages conversation. Every card has a prompt on it. So one of the questions, they have a kid version, so I bought that. And because my son is an only child, so he very much, like, when he goes to take a shower, he goes, Dad, can you come in here and keep me company? So I'll just be sitting in the toilet talking to him.
He's talking to himself. You know what? I think every kid wants to be an only child if they're not the only child.
Yeah.
It's like child wants a sibling. The sibling wants to be the only child.
Yeah, I agree. Listen, I have my twin sister, and then even though I didn't grow up in the same house as my other siblings, there was 9 of us all together. I could do without all of them. It was too much. I could do without all of them. This is way too many. Like, we gotta cut this off. No. Everyone, I feel like the government needs to really come in and, like, stop families. Like, all right, you have to cut off. No more. No mas. You cannot afford these kids.
They did it. They did it in China, but
they did do it in China.
Because now they need more. They need more people to work, because the people are getting older and there's not enough workers. Now they're stopping this 2-kid minimum and, like, letting them.
What is it, 3 now? Oh, now they're just letting them have at it.
Yeah, just let them have. Yeah, yeah. And you know what's so crazy? What's so crazy is our generation is having less kids. The birth rate in America has dropped tremendously, and it's because everything is so expensive.
Well, what's the number now? I think it's $1 million to raise an American child.
$1 million each. $1 million each.
And that's giving them the life that they deserve. You know, that's not even a privileged life. That's like, you find out your daughter's great at gymnastics. Now you want to put her in gymnastics, but it costs X amount of money, and you already have 2 other kids, so you can't afford it for your daughter. So now she just stays home on Saturday mornings watching cartoons.
I can't. You know what it is? Like my daughter's in gymnastics, and I think you have the same age as kid as mine. I have, like, 2 daughters. You have a son. I think they're like Tiger Woods. I think kids are more excellent. The younger you could get them to do something, the more practice they have, and the better they become, right? Mm-hmm. Because the older they get, the more it's like, I don't want to do this. I don't want to do that. But when you have a kid, you can tell the kid, like, yo, this is what I want you to do. I think you're good at it. Let's go. Right. I feel that's why you need the income. That's why I feel like sometimes if you have 9 kids, sometimes someone is losing out. Someone's not getting the all, because now it's like there's 9 kids. And I feel like someone suffers in that. I think 3 kids is the max, because you're kind of like, okay, 1, 2, 3 divided by 3/3.
Yeah.
When it gets to 4, then it's divided by quarters. When it gets to 5s, it's divided by. So it's who has $5 million? If I have 5 kids, I don't have $5 million.
So and if I have $5 million, I want to use it on me. I want to go somewhere. I'm trying to go to Anguilla for like 3 months, you know, just pop back in. Just like, yo, what's good? Yeah, I was in Anguilla for 3 months. That's all. A little sabbatical. You know, and it's just too much. But I want to go back to the talking point game. So I asked my son, what the question was, what if you could be a grown-up tomorrow, would you want to be, or something like that? And he said, no, it seems like it's a lot of work to be a grown-up. And he starts talking to me about just how much he enjoys being a kid. And I'm so happy that he's still a kid and he recognizes this is the best time ever.
What? My kids want to grow up.
Really?
No, not my son. You know what I think? He loves it. I think it's a girl's thing versus a boy's thing. Because I think women mature faster.
Yeah.
And women will complain about men. Like, you know how your son wants to stay a kid? Some men wanted to stay a kid forever.
And they do. Watch out for them. Watch out for them. So watch out for them, because they stay. Yes, he looks 30, but he reads at a 12th grade level.
Wow. Crazy. First of all, I think you should do comic. I think you should do stand-up.
You think I should do stand-up?
I think I think you're funny.
I'm no Cat Williams, but
let's talk about Cat Williams.
Did you watch that Titanic size interview? 2 hours and 46 minutes.
It was 3 hours long, and I watched the whole thing. I personally think Cat Williams is funny. First of all, I miss comedy. I'm so happy I'm in the era. I grew up in an era where you can make fun of people and not have to worry about being political correct.
Yeah.
Cause it's a joke, right? It's like people take things so personally, but it's just a joke. Just laugh it off, ha ha ha, and just keep it moving.
And it's tough, because I get when certain things dig and hit you, it's because there was a point to it, you know, because behind every joke, you know, there's some sort of truth. You know, as they say, there's truth in comedy. But to cancel somebody and take bread off their table for them to feed their kids because you thought they said something that went over the line, I think that's too extreme. It is. But first of all,
they're comedians. I was watching the Emmys. I guess his name is Coy Joy or something like that.
Oh, yep.
He made fun of Taylor
Joy Swift. Coy.
Yeah.
Joy Coy.
He made fun of Taylor Swift.
I know the joke. Like he said the difference between I think it was the Emmys, right? Was it the difference between this show and the NFL is that there's less shots of Taylor Swift hair than at the NFL. Something like that. Yeah. And they put the camera to her and she was just
I was like, it's okay. I think our society is just too sensitive.
Wound up, they're wound up. You know what? I agree with you in that. But in the case of Taylor Swift, who I love, I'm a Swiftie. I am not gonna lie.
Me too.
I'm a Swiftie. It's funny. I actually have a bracelet from not from her concert, but from a fitness class I took. That was a Taylor Swift themed fitness class, and they gave bracelets, and I wear it all the time. But anyway,
for someone
like her who's just always the butt of a joke, or someone's always making fun of her or something like that. Like, I remember when Desus and Mero years ago on Jimmy Fallon's show, they were playing like charades, and one of them was trying to show the other one the word was Taylor Swift. So all he said was long back. That's all he said was long back. He goes, Taylor Swift. And they just knew it right away. And everyone was just looking like.
was Taylor in the audience?
She was not in the audience, but I think it was Jimmy, Desus and Mero, and then the actress Charlize Theron. And you can see Charlize Theron, because she knew exactly what they meant. And she didn't see it. So if someone's constantly getting made fun of, you know, maybe that could be hard for them. I mean, look at that whole thing with Jada and Chris Rock and Will, all that foolishness, even though I think Will just definitely needs some sort of therapy, blah, blah, blah. But to be the butt of the joke all the time, sometimes it can be tough to take that on. But those are a very specific type of people. Everyone else is just way too sensitive. It's almost like you heard something that it didn't offend you, but it offended someone else. So you feel like you need to speak up for them. And it's just like, but there was no maliciousness behind the joke. It was, he really just wanted to make people laugh. He didn't want to dig at this person and make this person feel bad for themselves. If that happened, it's unfortunate. You know, it is unfortunate because the thing about life, no matter what, where you are, what country, what continent, what city, what state, no matter what you do, you can't control how someone's going to react. You can't. It's impossible. You cannot.
And we were talking earlier, that's why you shouldn't just care. I'm to the point where I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I think the caring is, you put too much energy into caring, and it's like, you're damn if you do, damn if you don't. Because even as comedians, who are you going to be able to make fun of then? Because every person they talk about can be sensitive about what you're talking about. So
yeah,
what, if comedians are going to be extinct now?
Yeah, I mean, it sucks.
What is allowable for a comedian to talk about? I
don't know. You gotta have to see. This is why I miss the Bernie Macs of the world. Because Bernie Mac, he can make fun of you, but then he could also come in with his own bit about like something that's going on in his life, in his world, and make it so funny and so memorable. Like what he did with the Kings of Comedy, where he created this bit about, you know, the kids that he had to adopt, his sister's kids, and one of them being a little slow and this and that happening. They took that bit and created a show, the Bernie Mac show, that went on for five seasons. You know, that's how brilliant that man was. Bernie Mac is actually on my Mount Rushmore of comedians. You know, for those of you who don't know what Mount Rushmore is, it's a national landmark over in South Dakota.
Yes.
With four presidents on it: George Washington, Abraham Lincoln, Jefferson, and somebody else. I don't know. Whoever else it is, I guess it's not that important. I can't remember. But anyways, those four people, those four big dogs. So Bernie Mac is on my Mount Rushmore of comedy.
Tell me who's your four.
So I'll start from the beginning. The beginning is Richard Pryor. I need Richard Pryor because Richard Pryor, I feel like, birthed all these comedians.
So he's the king of comedy.
He's the king of comedy. Without Richard Pryor, you don't have Eddie Murphy. Without Eddie Murphy, you don't have God knows how many people.
I mean, I love me some Eddie Murphy, like Raw.
I love Eddie too.
Raw.
Absolutely.
Raw was a class. I need to go watch Raw again.
I can't imagine. I was born in the 80s, but I wish I was almost born in the 70s so I could experience the 80s. They had Raw. They had Michael Jackson doing the moonwalk. Like, the 80s was wild, man. Wild.
Yo, 80s and 90s, what a time to be alive. I can't really say that because there's some people, it was also the crack epidemic. So
that is true.
I'm just saying sometimes it feels like it's better than it is now.
Yeah. No. I mean, the way life is, as the world goes on, this is always going to be the best time ever. Next year is going to be better than this year. 2026 is going to be better than 2025. In terms of resources and things that you can, you know, help to make your life better. Everyone has their own situational things going on, you know, that may mess them up. But in terms of like life and livelihood, yeah, this is the best time ever. Like, we have access to, you can literally be whatever you want to be. They always said it before, but it is very much true. You could go online and get your degree and learn all this stuff and be educated and become an engineer or become a chef. You could do all these things. But if I could choose to be one thing, I like that you brought up the comedy. I would love to be a comedian, even though I don't think I am, but I'll go to my top four. So it's Pryor, Eddie, Bernie Mac, and Chappelle. Those are my four. And it's every once in a while I'll switch around, but for the most part, those four change. Those four stay right there. Those four stay right there on top. Because again, Pryor opened up the door. Eddie kicked it down and did a backflip up in there. Bernie Mac is just one of those people that are just funny. He could just be ordering food at Burger King and he'll make you laugh. And I love Bernie Mac because he was born on October 5th and I was born on October 5th.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
So sad he died. I think he died of pneumonia.
Yeah, it was natural causes. He wasn't that young either. He wasn't that old. He was like
49.
Was he 49? I thought he was 50. But the point is, he wasn't at retirement age at all. You know, he wasn't close. He was not close, and it's tough. But if you watched the interview with Cat Williams, you heard about what he said about Steve, how Steve Harvey, who I've met a couple times, Steve Harvey was hating on Bernie Mac, him and Cedric the Entertainer.
I know.
Apparently, this was information that's been out there before. I didn't know about this, but now it's very much out there. And we all know about this. And I don't know that. I don't know how that makes me feel about Steve Harvey. You know, it just.
I think it's room for everyone to eat. I just don't understand this competition thing. Like, you could always find your piece of the population that's going to be your people.
Yeah, especially when something like comedy. You know,
but like I think comedy. But I think comedy is even worse now. Like I think the togetherism is not like the same anymore. Because I'll be honest, my top four is I love Chris Rock. People don't think he's funny.
Oh, I love Chris Rock. When I was younger, he has the Bigger and Blacker.
I went to both. I love Chris Rock. I'm a political hack. I'm a current events person. So the things that he talks about, I can. Yeah. I love how his mind works because it's like I feel like I call it intelligent comedy.
Yeah.
Where he's making fun of what's going on right now, like current events. Like he could talk about wars, he could talk about this. I love Eddie Murphy for the simple fact, Boomerang is one of my favorite movies of all time.
And Boomerang, was that the movie? Oh, Coming to America is just a classic. That's just classic. I don't think they should have touched it. Boomerang, is that the one?
Was a classic too.
Boomerang, is that the one when him and Halle Berry had that big makeout scene?
Yes,
and
they
going at it?
It was Halle Berry, and it was the other girl. Oh my God!
Was it Robin Givens?
Yes, Robin was giving. She was.
She was. But I'm not gonna lie to you. After everything that went down between her and Mike Tyson, I stopped liking Robin Givens. I'm like, I was a kid at that time. I'm like, I don't even know who this lady is. But if I ever saw her,
oh my God! I think that honestly ruined her career. And look, Mike Tyson did. Better, like
what Mike Tyson did have like a 180 where we had no idea he was gonna come back with such a vengeance. Like one of the first times I saw him when he like really came back and he was back was in the movie The Hangover. When he came out in The Hangover, everyone was like, "What?"
That changed his trajectory. The Hangover.
Funny. And no one ever thought of Mike as somebody funny.
And you know what was good about that? You saw his softer side. Because before, remember he had the Holyfield ear bite thing.
Yep.
Which I thought was going to ruin his career, but it didn't.
It kind of did though. All the rape allegations ruined his career. And Don King.
But even though he had the rape allegations, he still showed his talent. He was still knocking out.
Yeah.
You know.
I mean, he's a scary guy. Mike in his prime is scary. He's scary. And the one thing I love about Mike, there's this old clip. That I would love it if you found it. I could find it and probably send it to you. Of him, someone asking him about Ali, like if he could, would Mike in his prime beat up Ali in his prime?
And he said no. He said no.
Not only did he said no, he gave one of the best, like eloquent answers. That's like all the clips of Mike back then that they like to show when is him being angry and him saying the crazy stuff that he would say. You know, like I'm gonna rape you till you love me. Like it's like, what did you just say to me, bro? But then you have that clip that I never saw up until like last year. And it was just so beautifully put. He just pretty much said like, he's the king. We don't touch the king. Like that's it, that's the king. There was a story of him fighting, forgot the name of the fighter who beat up Muhammad Ali towards the end of Muhammad Ali's career. So now Tyson's coming up and Tyson let him know when they got into the ring together, because Muhammad Ali's now an older man. He just went down to see the fight. He got in the ring with Tyson. And Tyson whispered in his ear, or maybe Ali whispered in his ear, get him for me. Something like that. You best believe Mike Tyson, man. You already know him back then, that little pit bull just, you know, knocked that poor sucker out. But, I mean, Mike had a beautiful career, man. He has a beautiful career. He's podcasting now as well. But you just never know how someone's going to go. You know, you never know where it's going to take you.
But you know what was a change, though? You know his daughter died because of strangling of the blinds. I think he had a daughter that was 2 years old.
Oh, see, I didn't know this.
Lawsuit. where the blind, you know how the, that's why I think they shift away from the blinds having the wires coming down, because I think the daughter choked herself and died, which caused his divorce, because that's going to happen. And I think that's what made him switch. That was like a pivotal point of his life where it softened him a bit, because he's Mike Tyson, the killer, and now his precious daughter dies. So that changes you. And plus, when you're young, you do dumb and stupid things. It's not really an excuse, but you don't know better. You're young.
Yeah, you really don't.
I just dislike how we put so much pressure on young kids and teenagers to think that they can think like adults, get tried as adults, when they don't really have the experiences of an adult. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know how to stop their gratification and instant gratification. They don't, their minds are not that mature. So
the brain's not fully developed until you're 25. I told you.
Yeah, I know. So to be tried as an adult, as a 16-year-old, it's like, I know the crime is gruesome. I'm not saying like it should be like, they should just walk away from having any type of repercussions. But to have them as tried as an adult is like, come on.
It's heavy. It's heavy. It's heavy. But anyway, back to
the comedy.
The special of the year.
Wait. So I like Eddie Murphy, Chris Rock. I love Dave Chappelle. I just saw The Dreamer.
Oh, what did you think about The Dreamer? We won't ruin it for anyone who hasn't seen it, but it is. I'm a big Dave Chappelle fan, so I'm biased. Like, it's just a great. He was amazing.
To me, he's another intellectual comedian.
Yeah.
I just like smart men. That's my thing. I love smart men. And he finds a way to just be smart about the things that he talks about and it makes sense. And I know they try to like boycott him because I guess he talked about transgender a couple of more times. But I feel like people have a right to their opinion.
Yes, that part.
And it doesn't make them a bad person. Like, because I don't agree with you, my opinion is based on my environment, the way my parents raised me. It goes so much into why I feel this way.
Yeah.
And sometimes you might meet someone and you're like, how do you think that way? But I don't know if I can say they're a bad person, because if this is their living, how am I supposed to say they're wrong to think what they think? Because this is their living, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he totally doesn't get the transgender thing, but you'll watch Dreamer. But at the end, he comes full circle, because when he originally walked away from the $50 million, I was like, oh my God, who walks away from $50 million?
Yeah.
But I realized that he didn't want to sell his soul.
100%. Yeah. And people don't realize, and according to Kat said that he walked away from $50 million. He himself walked away from it four times. And in that same breath, he said, you know, because every once in a while, P. Diddy's going to want a party. And you got to tell him no. I was crying, dying. I'm watching this interview at like 4 o'clock in the morning because I'm up. I'm just like, this man, I hope nothing happens to Kat Williams. Because you know, when people speak out about Hollywood and what happens, all of a sudden, this person committed suicide. You know, you hear these weird things. You know, we're still trying to find out.
Like Epstein?
Epstein, yes. Yes.
We're still trying to find out. The cameras weren't working. There were no guards there. And he happened to just kill himself.
I'm happy you brought up the crack epidemic also. Just a quick little tangent, off tangent. The man responsible that worked with the CIA that used to fly in all the drugs into Detroit and whatnot in Chicago, he also killed himself. They found him in his car with two bullets in the back of his head. And they marked it as a suicide. He had two bullets in the back of his head and they said he killed himself. Like, what? You guys aren't even trying to hide it anymore. Like,
just like I just saw a Michelle Obama interview that said, there's a lot of things that as a president, they get to see that we don't get to know, right? And she says to the point, she was on the Jay Shetty podcast, that she doesn't even want to know. Can you imagine all the things that that's why I'm a conspiracy person. I know people think I'm weird. I just feel like we as layman people don't know the truth. We don't know all of the truth.
Yeah.
We don't know. Even with JFK being killed by Lee Oswald, I know there were people involved in it. Like, how can a simple man like this get into an area to be able to bring a gun?
Yeah, it's
and then shoot the president of the United States.
And,
I'm like,
kill the man in the highest office in the land. Like, that's insane. Like, the whole Abraham Lincoln thing happened back in, you know, 1860, whatever. But 100 years later, this is happening to the JFK thing. Wasn't that long ago. 1963 really wasn't that long ago.
My mom was born in 61. Like, it's like a long time ago. The 60s is not that far. What is the 60s?
It really
like?
Isn't.
40, what was 60s? What is it? Is it 40 years
it's
ago?
About, it's about 60 years ago. 60 years is about ago. 60 years ago now at this point. All right. And
people still alive from the 60s. That's not
my mom was born in the 60s. You know, so there's a lot of things that happened. It's funny. You brought up Jay Shetty. Actually, there he has his book called Think Like a Monk, and it had this really dope quote that I just so happen to have right here that I really like. I'm going to say it real quick. It's, I am not what I think I am. And I am not what you think I am. I am what I think you think I am. And that was by this guy named Charles Horton Cooley, which is very interesting. I'm not what I think I am. I'm not what you think I am. I'm what I think you think I am. Which is pretty much saying we base so much stuff off of what we do, off of what we think people think we
think
do.
Think of us.
Yeah, it's yo, just so
but
strange.
But yo, it'd be in your brain. Yo, literally.
Oh, yeah, it's not real. Which brings me back to Cat Williams. Cat Williams had this really good quote. I grabbed a bunch of them. He said, and I love this quote, to be confident and not delusional is a real skill. I was just like, damn. To be confident and not delusional is a real skill.
Because
I
delusional means like you're faking it till you make it.
The delusional is beyond that. It's not even faking it. It's that you truly don't realize the reality of what's happening. You're perceiving this way different than what's happening. It's almost like, let's break it down to something simple that people would understand, like a boy likes a girl likes a boy. One of those situations, you know? Or even one of these situationships that are popping off with all these younger people, even the older people, but a lot of the younger people, which the situationships are really ruining relationships. That said, you have people that are just sleeping with each other, but they don't have any sort of connection. So now as a guy, and some women too, you can sleep with a woman and not have any sort of real emotions for her at all. Like in your mind, this is just you releasing. It's almost like just eating food. I'm hungry, so I'm going to eat. I'm horny, so I'm going to do that. You know? But for now, this woman in her brain, he must like me. He keeps on sleeping with me. That's the perception he's giving me. But for him, he's just kind of like, I'm so happy that she's making herself so accessible. I need to, you know, just let this go. I need to let this nut go, you know? So there you have somebody thinking one thing and the other person thinking another thing. And then that's when you have a problem. You have two people thinking different things, but working towards the same, not same goal, but moving in the same direction. And it's just like, no, I'm going this way. Which way are you going?
But that's why you always have to check in.
Yes. Check-ins are important. My girlfriend and I, we're a year and a half in. And we do monthly check-ins. We've been doing that now for like probably a good year now. Monthly check-ins. At the beginning of each month, we say, "Why I can't stand you." No, we don't do that.
You check in to make sure you guys are on the same page. Like to check in so there's no assumptions. As you said, like if I'm sleeping with someone, that's all it is. But the other person might think we're in a 10-year relationship and we're about to get married. You know what I mean? So you always have to kind of check in to make sure whatever you're thinking is what really is.
Yes, yes. Patrice O'Neill, God rest his soul, brilliant comedian. He would always say this all the time. I'm probably going to get the years confused. But he goes, yeah, my girl's been with me for 8 years, but I've been with her for 5.
Because he's been cheating for the last 3. Or his mind wasn't there.
For the first 3. He wasn't there for the first 3. He was like, no. We just messing around. You ain't my girl. I'm your man, but you ain't my girl.
You know what? A girl anniversary will be from the moment we met. A guy's anniversary is probably
moment
the moment he fell in love.
The moment he proposed, he's like, all right, cool. I'll stop. I'll let my other girls go now.
Yo, men are definitely from Mars and women are definitely from Venus. That's an old
listen,
book, but it's a classic.
It is. I mean, but it's
we have two different minds, two different.
You communicate differently. I learned a long time ago, if you want to take a woman on a date, you don't tell her, like, if I want to take you on a date, Danny, I'm not going to say, hey, you want to go to the movies on Friday? That's not how you do it. You go, hey, Danny, I actually looked at this movie. It's about this and that. I think you would really like it. You want to come see with me on Friday? It's a different, it's, you know, that's different now. It's making you, it's pulling you in.
Is that a date when you say it that way? Or are you saying it as we're friends?
It's 100%. Well, I'm speaking now more romantically, so it'll be a date, you know? But the idea of speaking to a woman, you can't speak. Men tend to, how they mess up is because, one, they don't have people showing them how to speak to women, you know? Because you can't speak to, a man can't speak to a woman the same way he's talked to his boys. Like, hey, yo, are you trying to play ball tomorrow? Yeah, you want to go to movies tomorrow? Like, you can't talk to her the same way. It's a completely different vibe. Like, for the girl, it's always just like, well, do you want me to come? You know, I know you're going, but do you want me to come? Like, she wants to know that you want her there. You know, so not only do I want to go there, like, I can't go without you. I need you to come with me. Like, I need you there, you know? But it was some book I read. I run a lot, so I just listen to audiobooks when I run. But there was this one book that was just talking about how to speak to women. Not that I need any help talking to the ladies, but it was just very nice to hear, to see the differences. Because I make a lot of those common mistakes of how I talk to guys, I talk to a girl, and you can't, you know, not unless you want that same sort of reciprocation. It's just like, no, you know, and I think that's where a lot of guys mess up. But it is also a very strange time now to be a woman. I feel like you guys are stuck between traditional values and the modern woman.
So, okay, first of all,
that's size said it all.
And you know what? I feel so bad because men sometimes think we have penises because they feel that, okay, I'm the man, you're the woman, stop having a penis, right? But we're in a weird world where we have our careers and we have to be assertive. And then it's like we have to come home and then be damsel in distress, like, act like we can't do it. So the man can feel that he's a leader and we are submitting to the man. It's such a hard balance because the world out there is telling me I have to go get what I want, but then in my home I have to act as if
like you need help
doing
But what's tough too, Danny, is that there are some men that are treating women as if they have penises, but then there's some women walking around like they got something swinging between their legs too. You know, like they are men. And it's just like, honey, you're not me at all.
First of all, I have to say this. In this whole gender equality thing, I think there's no such thing because chemically, I am not as strong as a man, right? That is not my role biologically. A woman is supposed to nurture and love and take care. True. A man is supposed to go and gather, provide, and be like head of household, right?
Protect.
I think our society, because of the transgression of, you know, we are equal. I don't think there's, you know what? Dave Chappelle said it, and I want to say this. If we were equal, then the WNBA will be playing with the NBA. Simple as that.
Yeah. Yep.
Women's sports and men's sports will be all together.
I'm so happy you brought that up. So the other day in my son's school, they had a whole debate in the auditorium about women and men in sports and should men and women play together. So I asked him, I go, and how did that go? What did most people agree on? And he said, most people said that they should play together. And only a handful of kids said it should be separate. So I told him, I said, well, what did you say? He said, I think they should be together too. And it's tough because now these kids are growing up in this politically correct era where they just hear this, hear that, like, all right, cool, we should be doing this. But it's just like, when you guys live life and realize how different men and women are, you guys probably don't see it. Honestly, they do see it as kids because that's when you can see it, when they're children, how different boys and girls are. You know, my son wakes up, nothing but energy, running around, all that stuff. I've seen my nieces. I see how they are. They will sit down and they will draw and color. Not saying that there are boys that don't do that. I know some boys that do that. But most of the boys that I know are like my son. They're breaking things. They're running up and down. They're not gentle at all. Meanwhile, you got the girls that are just very elegant. They do things a certain way. But then you can have girls that are rough too. But for the most part, majority of the girls aren't rough. They are very much ladies when they're kids. You know, they're very ladylike.
I had a conversation about that because when I was growing up, the word for it was tomboy. I was a tomboy. Yeah.
You was a tomboy?
I was
how did you dress? Danny, how did you dress?
I dressed like a boy. I dressed like
how
a boy.
So? What were you wearing? Jeans?
I played every sport. I was a pitcher. I played basketball. I was not on the feminine side of sports. I like to play like the rough sports.
And now look at you. You're such a girl now.
And my hair was like cut short. I used to be bullied. But then the word was tomboy, right?
Yeah.
So what about, I know this might be controversial. What about if a child is going through their tomboy stage?
Yeah.
Where they just feel that, okay, because I thought I was going to, I just had a lot of masculine energy when I was growing up, right? Like, do you think we should wait for them to be like 18 to decide?
Before they should change their gender?
Yeah.
1,000%. First of all, again, with your body, all that stuff is still developing. Your brain is not even fully developed till 25, as I said before. So the fact that you're already messing with your hormones and stuff, and the endocrine system is already doing so much with helping out with your hormones and balancing everything off. So now you're introducing something new into your body. You're, well, not something new. When it comes to the boys that are trying to become girls, they're putting more estrogen in their body. And us as men, we have a little bit of estrogen, but not a lot. Estrogen is what makes women women, what gives you breasts and that feminine look. Testosterone now is what us men have. That's what adds to the facial hair and the muscle build. And that's what women are, it's what girls are doing to become boys or men. And it's just so interesting that parents are allowing their kids before they're 18, before they're even allowed to vote or smoke a cigarette, to put these different these pathogens into their body.
Like, we don't listen to our kids. We try to give our kids direction with everything else. If my kids said to me at 10, "Mommy, I can drive," would I sit there and say, "Would the Lord allow me to let my kids drive?" Would the Lord tell me, "Well, she said she can drive, so let her drive"?
It's so tricky.
It's like an oxymoron. When is it that the kid can make a decision, and we believe the kid? And when is a decision that maybe we should wait until you're more mature to make this decision? And I think more mature means pass your hormone, get your menstruation. Because I feel like if it's natural, wouldn't your body produce the estrogen itself? Wouldn't your body produce the testosterone itself? I know in your mind, you feel that you are this sex.
Yep.
And you're in the wrong body. But what about if a black person said, "I should be in a white body"? Like,
where it has happened. There's a case.
I know, but when is it? When does it stop?
When does it stop? When does it stop?
Yeah. What about if I say I'm in a poor body and I'm meant to be rich? Are you gonna give me $1 million?
That's my New Year's resolution. I'm trying to get out of this poor body, get to a rich.
Okay. So, what is your New Year's resolution?
Listen, my New Year's resolution is the same resolution I've had for years, and it's to stop arguing with people. I argue with people all the time. I hate when somebody is so just dead on about a point that's obviously wrong, and I'm like, "You're just sharing your opinion, sir. That's not a factual statement. What are your sources?" Because for me, I'm not going to speak on something unless I know about it. And if I don't know about it, I will say that and then speak on it anyway, but I will let people know I'm not really completely sure about what I'm saying. But I'm going to say this part, and this is what I know. So it's very hard for me to not argue with people. Years ago, my New Year's resolution, I tweaked it. It used to be to stop arguing with women, because those are people I would argue with all the time. Because I was raised by women, I have that feminine trait to just keep on going at you. Like, "No, you're wrong. We're going to argue. We're going to argue." You know, and arguing with women is just a lose-lose situation. Because here I am arguing with a woman. Not that there's anything against arguing with a woman, but as a man, it makes me look like less of a person, which is interesting. And I think it's sexist in just that alone, the fact that I look less than because I'm arguing with a woman. Why can't I argue with her? Because she's a woman, so I'm not supposed to argue with her? I'm not supposed to give her
that's
time of day?
We can't have it both ways. We can't just cherry pick what we want to cherry pick.
Yeah.
I feel like it's either all or nothing. If you want, well, if it's equal rights, then we should all play in the same team.
I'll tell you right now, there's a girl on my son's football team. MVP. MVP.
And wait. So she's allowed to play on the boys' team.
She's allowed to play. When they're a certain age, I believe they have them playing. But as they get older, these boys naturally get freakishly strong. And the girls don't.
I mean, some do, though.
Some do. But it's all about what you're training your body to do. You know? If you keep on kicking that ball, eventually, yeah, you're going to get really good at kicking that ball. Mm-hmm. If you throw a ball at my son, he's going to catch it without even looking. He's quick. We've been playing catch since he could play catch. You know? We've been playing catch since he could play catch. So that's how that goes. So if the girl's training and working out, she's going to be athletic. I know girls that are stronger than me, you know, and they don't have to be manly looking. They just are strong because they've been training. I go to a lot of fitness classes. So I run into a lot of different people, you know, so there's some tough girls that still look feminine, but they're strong and they're still very much women. They're not trying to be men. They're just strong women. And there's nothing wrong with being a strong woman. You know, which is why Danny's signing up for a gym membership right after the show.
I'm going to go to Planet Fitness. I want to do it anyway, because you know what it is? I don't want to be too skinny, because I feel that sometimes when you look too skinny, it makes you look older, because you do need some fat in your body just to make you look youthful. I feel
just as you get older. Remember back in the day, 100 years ago, you know, in 1924, to be chubby was a thing. Or even, you know what, even way past then, like hundreds of years ago, to be heavy and overweight was a sign of wealth. That means you have food coming in.
I know.
You know, you got food.
But you
now
know what?
Just
everybody
disgusting.
Wants to be skinny now. We have like Mounjaros. We have Ozempic. We have, everybody wants to be thin.
Yeah.
Okay. Why does everybody want to be thin? Does thin make you look better?
Or is it's the media. It's what they put out there, the images that we constantly see, which I am very proud of companies like Nike that are now starting to show full figured women and start to have full figured mannequins in their stores.
I know.
Because one thing about fitness is that you really can't tell by looking at somebody unless they're extremely obese or extremely skinny, but you can't tell by looking at them how physically fit they are. Because there are some people that are naturally big that are way more fit than people that are small.
I look at Lizzo, like the things that you could say she's, I don't know if it's overweight. I don't, whatever, but she moves her body as if she was skinny.
Wait, but we still talking about Lizzo? I thought she was canceled.
I don't believe in canceling people. With the Kanye's of the world, I just don't believe in canceling people. I think it's a joke to cancel people. Because you know what?
But he needs to stop talking and make music.
We all make mistakes. We're human. And especially if you're like a celebrity or you have your public figure, you're not going to say the right things all the time. If that was the case, then you would be like a fake person.
Yeah, which sometimes you just have to be. You know, look what Cat Williams was talking about. What Cat Williams was saying. He another one of his quotes that he said that I love. He said, it was about the people who like are a part of it now. What is it? This is the country. God, what was it? There's a bunch of quotes I'm here looking at right now. Oh, I love this one. This is not the one I was talking about, but I love this one. Oh, here we go. I found it. Number one job for someone who sold their soul for Hollywood is to act like it didn't happen. You know, just act like it didn't happen. Just smile, say the things that you're supposed to say, you know, read the cue cards and be happy that you got that big old mansion. And what he said, the light-skinned wife with the weird face. That's what he said that they all have.
Yeah. But a quote that he said that really got me was when he said, I am the richest person in the world because I wake up every day with no worries. And I think he said that because for those people who sold their soul and act like there's nothing that's happening, they know deep inside they got to pay back the piper.
Yep. Something's coming. Reckoning is coming.
Someone is going to come. Like, so as quick as you have that fame, you got to pay the piper. So something's going to happen to ruin everything that you work for, or you have to be an example or whatever you got to do. Because nothing is for free. Whatever you do, you're going to have to pay back. Nothing is free in this world.
Listen, with every reaction, no free trips to Six Flags. No free trips to Disney World, as they say.
No. Whatever.
Everything that's been done in the dark, brought to light.
And let's talk about like LeBron real quickly.
LeBron is the man, all right? He is the man. The LeBron hate needs to stop. I understand why it's there because it's sports and it's almost part of the ideology of sports to hate someone or love someone. It's very rare that someone's indifferent. And then when you're as great as someone like LeBron, they're going to hate on you. Because even in Michael Jordan's heyday, he was hated on by certain people. I mean, he was glorified by most, but there's some people who hated him. There's some people who still hate Jordan.
So what's the lesson, like, what's the lesson in that? You said something. What's the lesson in being
damned if you do? Damned if you do, damned if you don't. So you might as well live your life and do whatever gifts you were given to bring to this world, go and do it. You're supposed to act, go act. You're supposed to talk, go talk. You're supposed to be a doctor, go be a doctor, because people are going to hate on you regardless. It doesn't matter. When I was younger, a friend of mine, his father pulled everybody to the side. I think I might have told you the story. And he was just talking to all the kids. He goes, listen, kids, I don't care what you be. I don't care what you're going to grow up to do. Just be the best at it. So if you're going to be a bum, be the best bum. And I never forgot that. I mean, I don't want to be a bum, but it's true. It's like, what's the point of doing this then?
You're so right.
What's the point? Like, I just want to be mediocre. That's all.
I don't.
And the thing is, there's so many people that's walking around with that mindset without even realizing that they're mediocre. It's because they're surrounded by mediocrity. Between their parents being mediocre, their siblings being mediocre, their coworkers being mediocre,
their friends being mediocre.
Yeah, which is why it's so important that you put your kids in certain schools where they're going to be around other kids that are game changers. You know, people that are here, when they walk into the room, they shake the room. Like Cat Williams shook up the whole comedy world with his Club Shake Shake
interview.
Everybody
come out the woodwork saying, man, what you have to say. Which made it feel like you're guilty as charged, because I would have just been like, it's not true anyway. I ain't going to say nothing. Whatever.
I would just get my mouth quiet. If I was Ludacris, I would not drop those 16 bars, Ludacris. How do you feel about Kevin Hart and all this stuff? Now his ex-wife, who still has his last name.
Well, because of the kids, you know.
Is that why?
Sometimes you keep the last name because of the kids. Because
see, I don't know.
You want to be synced in school because you don't want to have two different names in school. So I get why she kept the last name. But how I feel about Kevin Hart is Kevin Hart should have gave his wife, when they were married, the opportunity to tour. So I can't be mad at her for touring with Cat Williams, because her own husband didn't believe in her enough to have her put on tour with him. So when Kevin Hart says, I'm happy for everyone, BS. You're pissed. But... if you're not going to be loyal to me, don't ever think that I'm going to be loyal to you.
You cheated on her, right? That's how it went down? Okay. All right. And you told me she used to write some of his jokes. So she's partly responsible for his success. All right. We'll leave it at that. I know we're about to close up.
Close up. But I'm looking forward to talking to you next month about current pop topics. I just want to say, everyone, Happy New Year, and thank you, Kev, for coming on. I'm Proud of You, Sis, featuring I'm Proud of You, Bro.
2024.
So everyone, please keep your New Year's resolution. Please, just keep at it. And like Kevin said, whatever you choose to do in life, just make sure you become the best at it. Yep. The best. Put all your might into it and become the best. You want to be a vet? Just become the best. That's all I got to say. Thank you very much. Bye, everybody.